I definitely always over invite. So I'm one of those people where, hey, yeah, come along, bring your pals. And then it ends up being sort of 20 people around a 10 person table. And my partner, he always laughs at me, but I basically just always shout, Alexa, play Motown. I've still got ones that I kind of stole from pubs when I was like a student. Like back in like, you know, 15, 20 years ago, I want it to be entertainment everywhere. So I want there to be like a musician, but also someone telling stories which are quite sort of political. And I basically could just eat bowls of whipped cream with loads of sugar in it and loads of a spoon.
Hello. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. Today I'm chatting with Imma Umgassan, co-founder of Botivo, a small batch botanical aperitif who I have seen popping up everywhere lately. They are on a mission to transform non-alcoholic drinks, creating something not in opposition to alcohol, but in a category of its own that can be served with or without, so essentially mixed however you like. Love, love, loved this chat from Imma's interesting story about how she got into Botivo to her dinner party go-tos. I know that you will too, so I hope you enjoy it. Hello! Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm excited to have you and chat a little bit more about what you do and your dream dinner party. But do you want to start by telling us a little bit about you?
Yes, so I'm Imma. I am a co-founder of Botivo. I guess if you haven't seen us, we are, we call it a big sipping botanical aperitivo. So it's got no alcohol in it, but it is the most delicious drink that I've ever tasted, which is basically how I got involved with it. So we've been going for 2 years, and actually the liquid existed before I joined, and I randomly tried it at a friend's house and just became obsessed with it. So it's an aperitivo style. It's sort of herbal, bittersweet, citrus flavor profile, and it takes 1 year to make the liquid, and you serve it, you know, over ice with sparkling water and an orange. But it's totally sort of transformed the way that I drink, the way that I socialize, my taste buds. And I came on as co-founder after it was a few months old, and I'm in charge of all things brand and marketing and sort of sales behind the brand.
What were you doing before Botivo?
Yeah, so I've been working in sort of brand strategy, brand building, consumer side of businesses for like 20 years. So yeah. I worked in the agency side in like New York, Shanghai, London, and I was consultant for, you know, everyone from Heineken, Diageo, Nike, Adidas, etc. So lots of sort of big brands, but also some startup ones. But always be interested in brands, how they make people feel. And then, you know, finally found a product which the taste was just something that I hadn't experienced before. So I just leapt on the opportunity to get involved.
What a way to like get into the business as well, by literally trying it and being like, this is the best thing I've tasted, and then being like, I have to be part of this.
Yeah, it's actually funny. I actually met my co-founder Sam. Sam makes Botivo by hand in Hertfordshire, and I actually met him completely randomly on the dance floor at like 1 a.m. in Mexico City at a wedding.
Oh my god, incredible.
I know. I was like, so what do you do? You know, like, sort of sidled over. He was with his wife. It wasn't like creepy. But I was chatting to them both, and I was like, you know, what do you do? And he sort of mentioned, I've just started making this liquid called Botivo. And I was just like, oh my God, I love that liquid. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I then wrote him a proposal straight away for how I wanted to sort of redo the brand and the world and come on as his partner. And luckily, he was looking for someone at the time. But it was one of those totally serendipitous sort of meetings, which is quite funny.
Yeah. Wild. Today we're going to be talking about your dream dinner party. Do you like to host?
Do I like to host? Oh my God, definitely. I am sort of a huge hoster of dinner parties and parties. But what I will say is I definitely always over invite. So I'm one of those people where, hey, yeah, come along, bring your pals. And then it ends up being sort of 20 people around a 10 person table. People are sort of perching on stools and people are sharing plates, and you know, that's like kind of the vibe often. So quite chaotic, but I definitely love it.
Chaotic in a good way though.
I mean, that's, I think so. I'm not sure everyone who's like sharing plates and like sitting in on my kids like stools or whatever, but there's definitely a sort of shared plate, everyone's welcome kind of vibe, which I think is a big part of it.
Nice. So presumably you're going to be hosting your dream dinner party.
I will be hosting my dream dinner party. For sure. My partner actually normally is much better at cooking than me. So I'll be the sous chef, I think, probably on the cooking front. But I'll be the entertainer and I'll be.
Yeah, so you can focus on hosting and you've got stuff still ticking over in the kitchen.
Exactly. I'd sort of shout out like, when's it ready?
Yeah, everyone's waiting.
Yeah, exactly.
So set the scene for us. Where are we having your dream dinner?
I was thinking about a dream dinner, and actually sounds odd, but actually my dream dinner is at home. It's not in some sort of really elaborate location. We have sort of a small garden, but like we have sort of doors that can open up into it, and it is, you know, lots of people round a big table sort of in the garden, half of them sitting on, like, I've got twins that are 3 years old, so like half the people are sitting on their chairs because obviously there's not enough. We'll put on like basically illegal little fires in the garden, you know, those ones mm-hmm. that you can get like yeah. on Amazon, and you sort of put wood yeah. in there and it's always yeah. kill all the plants mm-hmm. in your garden. And so we put out a couple of those for a bit mm-hmm. of atmos, and yeah, quite hectic basically in general.
Nice. So we talking summer?
Definitely summer vibes, yeah. I think in my mind, my best friend, who is this guy called Greg, one of them, he always talks about like fairy lights and how he calls them instant vibes, basically, mm-hmm. which I love. Yeah. So basically in my mm-hmm. mind, there's fairy lights in the garden mm-hmm. and little fires, but and they're kind of provide nice. Instant vibes.
I love that, instant vibe.
Yeah, so true though. Whenever I walk past a restaurant and I see fairy lights, I'm like, oh, that looks so
instant
cozy.
Instant vibes. You have them, just fairy lights everywhere. Throughout
yeah, exactly. Just like, no, it's not that cozy. It's just literally got fairy lights. But, you know,
but like somebody else to come and set them up because they are a pain in the ass.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you doing with the table? Do you like decorating the table? Do you like laying the table?
I'd like to say I do, but I think definitely like simple, maybe a sunflower. I love yellow. Mm. I think popping nice. Some sunflowers, it always looks like quite glam, but actually it's sort of minimal effort. And I'll do kind of token things, like get like a glass, what they call like pitcher, but put like a cucumber slice in it, because that's like yep, immediately nice. Makes it feel yeah. like
elevated.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So basically very minimal effort, but yeah. like token things that I feel makes me yeah. look like I've put loads of effort in, but obviously yeah.
easy peasy. Everyone can yeah. This isn't just water, this is cucumber.
Yeah, exactly. Not just any water, this is cucumber water.
Do you remember those adverts?
You know, whenever I was working advertising, people, every brand would say, we want it to be like that M&S ad. Like, you know, that's how I want people to feel. You know,
it was, they were so good. I don't think they do them anymore. I've not seen one in years.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. I haven't watched, have you watched TV though for years?
I do, but maybe not. Don't watch live TV.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. I imagine it's like a live TV.
Maybe
they were great. Yeah, bring them back, M&S. They're not out there. Yeah. Bring them back.
Yeah, they always just made you salivate. Like, yeah, I need to go and buy that immediately.
Yeah, yeah. And there was like the sticky toffee pudding one was like the standout one. You know, where like you cut it and it just sort of dribbled out.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got some sunflowers, but keeping it quite simple.
Keeping it super simple, fairy lights for instant vibes, definitely mismatching like forks. I also find it really, creepy when people have really all matching glasses. Yeah. You know, it's like when people always wear matching socks, I just don't trust them. Like, come on, surely there's some that, you know, are odd occasionally, you know. I feel like it's the same with glasses. Like, it's all sort of eclectic ones that I've still got, ones that I kind of stole from pubs when I was like a student, like back in like, you know, 15 20 years ago. They're quite eclectic, and I kind of feel mm-hmm. like that brings quite a personal mm-hmm. vibe to it. I don't like stuffy yeah. dinner parties. I don't like when people have like linen napkins. I know that sounds, it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous, but I'm also like, oh god, there's so much washing
they
to
just get ruined.
Yeah, they get ruined, and it just makes me anxious. So there's definitely sort of tissues, but like fancy ones.
Yeah, nice. We're going simple but elevated.
Exactly. Yeah, that's like my brand.
That'll be your tagline.
It was simple but elevated.
I like the tie-in with like sunflowers and the Petivo branding as well.
I mean, the yellow, it's not a coincidence that it's all yellow, because I just feel like the colour yellow just makes me just feel so like uplifted, like straight away. I'm so sort of positive, and I kind of want everyone to feel like that when they drink Petivo as well.
Who are you inviting?
It's someone that's dead, alive and fictional. It's kind of the three ideal ones, right? God, there's so many dead ones, but I think it would have to be someone who could bring a sort of musical vibe to it. Because I think with my dinner party, I want it to be entertainment everywhere. So I want there to be like a musician, but also someone telling stories which are quite sort of political and people can like discuss interesting topics around. Also want someone who's like in charge of games, you know? So after dinner, you can have sort of games. So when I was thinking about it, I think probably someone like Amy Winehouse, just because... Mm-hmm. I sort of want to know what was going on. She's obviously very talented. Mm-hmm. Getting her, you know,
nice,
etc., would be lovely. But also, just think she probably was a lovely person. I never kind of got to see it. I want to just have a chat.
Have you been to see the movie that's just come out?
No, but I feel quite sorry for them, because it's been so ripped apart. But I feel like
I've heard mixed mixed reviews.
Yeah, but how can you, you know, it's a massive undertaking, like, to try and replicate such an icon. So setting yourself up to fail a bit, but I won't be watching it in the cinema, put it that way, but I might wait for it to come out on Amazon later. But the person who bring the sort of, I guess, the contemporary chat, like the interesting insights, has got to be Holly McNish. I don't know if you've heard of her, but she's my favorite poet. She does these amazing, she's kind of a feminist poet, I guess, but she does amazing poems about things that she, you know, things that she loves. Stories and a lot of commentary as well on like politics and what's going on and big cultural sort of moments, and she's always just got a really interesting take on the world, but I think also would kind of throw in topics which would be quite interesting to have everyone to sort of debate and obviously is just beautiful with words. So actually tonight, funnily enough, I have some people coming around for a dinner party because we went to see Holly McNish live at the Hackney Empire and was so inspired by her reading her poetry that we set up a poetry night.
I love that. That's amazing.
So off piste, but so everyone's coming around with their poetry tonight, which they have written off the back of this one night of us sort of seeing Holly McNish live and her kind of inspiring kind of conversations and ways of seeing the world.
Yeah.
So that will be a dinner party with
poetry. Oh, that's gorgeous. I love that.
And then fictional wise, I've got twins that are three, and there's this one show, it's a cartoon actually, so I went cartoon on my fiction called Bluey.
I'm not sure we've had a cartoon. I do know who Bluey is.
So Bluey, for those who don't know, it is this Australian dog family. And every parent will sort of watch it. And actually, it's the one that we all like, because obviously anyone with an Australian accent is entertaining. But also the parents are like these hilarious parents that are just constantly, you know, playing games with their kids and being really fun and having imaginations. And you kind of feel like they'd be quite jokes to sort of drink with and have a dinner party with in real life. But equally, they make you feel like a really bad parent, because obviously you can never be as fun as that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a double-edged experience when you're watching. You're like, oh, that's really funny, but also like, God, I should switch off the TV and actually play some games with my kids. But anyway, Bluey the dad, I want him my dinner party, because I feel like he would bring the vibes.
I didn't know Bluey was the family. I thought Bluey was one of them.
But the show is called Bluey.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. What do you think the dynamic would be like?
Well, I think Bluey's dad would just be like throwing out games for everyone. Holly would be like bringing interesting, like poetic, political insights, and Amy would sing away in the corner.
Yeah, taking it all in.
Yeah, exactly. Just
facilitating.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have a go-to playlist or go-to music that you put on at a dinner?
So we actually do have like a vinyl record player in our kitchen. Mm-hmm. We're always like, okay, we should, you know, put on something. And in the ideal one, I'd pop on like a Sam Cooke, because I feel like Sam Cooke is so like treacly, and you know, I love his music. But the reality is that normally like all my kids' toys and things are on top of the record player, and we never actually open it or play anything at a dinner party. And my partner, he always laughs at me, basically, because I basically just always shout, Alexa, play Motown.
And that's
basically my like dinner party thing. It's like, not a playlist, just play Motown, please, Alexa.
Does Alexa go for the same thing every time, or does she mix it up?
Pretty much, yeah. I would say luckily like the same people don't come a rotation that often. Yeah. So by the time they've come back, they've sort of forgotten that it's definitely Alexa. And actually on that theme of like Australians, we've changed Alexa's voice to be Australian. Do you know you can do
that? Yeah. I don't have an Alexa, but I do know that you can do that.
Honestly, it just makes me so happy. Alexa, play Motown.
So my sat-nav is Australian, which is fun.
Just makes everything a bit better.
Makes it long drives a little bit more entertaining. You can also, I found out recently on Waze, you can change the sat-nav voice to like specific people.
Oh, what, like famous people?
Yeah, there's like loads of options. So I'm going to go and do that.
That's a great question for your podcast in the future. It'd be like, if you could change Alexa's voice to anything, to choose the music at your dinner party, like whose voice would it be? Oh my God, whose voice would it be? God, that is a really tricky one. Probably someone like deeply Scottish. Like they're
that would be good.
Really happy. And probably quite difficult to understand, which adds an extra element of danger.
Yeah. Maybe not the best when you're driving difficult to understand. Where am I going? So food and drink. What are we going to be eating at your dinner party?
Yes, I definitely would have three courses. Well, I was thinking about this When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about, I don't know, do you play that game with your friends? Because I do it all the time, which is if you got the electric chair or whatever, like what would your last meal be? Because they could apparently bring you whatever you want to your, you know, your chair.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably where this podcast came from. I just love asking people about like food preferences and food questions. I think it's so interesting. I think you learn so much about someone through like what their favorite snack is or like what their last meal would be. Or
it would actually just be one thing, but I'm not going to say that for this because I want to do three courses. But if I did get the chair, I would literally just have a plate of crispy chicken skin.
That's so good.
You know what I mean? Like, it's so good. It doesn't have to be like a real meal. It could just be like one thing that is your favorite thing in the world, but loads of it.
Yeah. The chicken skin rarely makes it out of the kitchen when we cook a roast chicken in our flat.
And just like the perfectly made crispy chicken. And I could just eat them crisps. That would be my meal if I had one. But I would make it my starter in this one because I think it's just a bit boring for everyone else. But yeah, crispy chicken, if we can have that. Second one. It's actually just on my mind because I just met Amelia from Bold Beans this morning. You know.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And I'm obsessed with Bold Beans, basically. So just made me think of it straight away because I love the idea of, you know, taking something which is old and sort of everyone's forgotten about it and then making it delicious and new and modern and kind of inspiring people and this whole new thing. And also because I'm also like generally quite lazy in cooking and I now kind of, I add it to everything and I just sort of don't eat that much meat and pop it in. And again, going back to that kind of theme of like simple but elevated.
It's going to be the tagline for your podcast episode.
Yeah, so true. This is a great brainstorm session for my future brand. So yeah, I think just anything with that, I often just get people around and I'll just make like add some tomatoes and cheese and beans and it's like a full meal. So I basically just love everything with those, the big ones. Not the little ones.
The like butter beans, the queen butter beans.
Pretty juicy one.
Same.
And also you can do it in bulk and you know it's minimal effort and chuck it on. So that's definitely my main course. And then my dessert is probably the fanciest one, which is against all odds. It'd probably be like an eaten mess or something, you know, like meringue cream and you know, raspberry. And I think I basically could just eat bowls of cream as well. That might be my second thing after the crispy chicken skin. Like whipped cream. I'm just obsessed with it.
Whipped cream rather than like single or double cream.
Whipped cream with loads of sugar in it, you know, just with a spoon. Yeah. I actually have made that like watching TV before, like instead of popcorn.
So like eat a mess, but mostly cream.
Yeah, basically, exactly. It's just like the meringue gets in the way. And the
yeah, just a little sprinkling of meringue on top of the cream.
Yeah, like a sort of salt and pepper dashing, but actually, so to make it socially acceptable.
Yeah, like when you put like breadcrumbs on something, but like a little bit of meringue on the top.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when I eat potatoes, I actually just eat butter with a bit of potato. You know, it's sort of things that are slightly the wrong way around.
Yeah, would you like some potato with that butter?
Yeah, exactly. That's basically my whole eating career.
And you'd have raspberries in your eating mess?
I go for raspberries, because actually raspberries are probably my favorite fruit, and it's a very kind of simple reason for that, which is I've actually got this, I call it the 80-20 life philosophy, which I kind of apply it to everything too. And it's, you know, if I'm doing something in my spare time, it has to be minimum 80% fun and maximum 20% admin. You know, like eating pistachios like doesn't really cut it for me, you know. It's not like the reward doesn't really, you know, live up to the effort I've put in. And it's the same with like skiing. Like I've only done it a couple of times, but I'm rubbish. So like the effort around going into just putting on gloves and like walking around with really heavy things, it's just worth like, you know, no, it's too much. Anyway, so raspberries, it's a very long-winded way of saying raspberries are like, you put them in your mouth, just pluck them off, and it's like 100% fun. There's not even like a seed.
No, agree. I totally get it now. I was wondering where, I was wondering how that was going to come back around to raspberries. But yeah, because like strawberries, you're right. You've got to take the head.
Literally, you go to a tree and you can just like, whoop, and it comes off and you put it in your mouth and it's delicious.
Also, yeah, when raspberries are in their prime, they are so good.
So banging, like, nothing is better. Mm-hmm. I mean, even like a cherry is like, you've got little cherry pip in your mouth and you're like, biting around it, spitting out, you know, it's not 100-0, which is, you know, what?
No. Really cherry's like definitely up there with like 80-20 the wrong way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 100%.
Okay, so What are you going to be drinking?
I mean, Bitivo, obviously, because I'm genuinely obsessed with it. People are always like, you don't have to drink it because it's your brand. But I'm actually like, I have to sneak out bottles from the office because I genuinely just drink it every day. And so I think there's two things I do. Obviously, we drink the kind of OG, which is Bitivo and sparkling water with a slice of orange. That's a given. I guess my party trick is actually Aperitivo white Negroni, because I love it, which impresses people with something really simple and unexpected. Mm-hmm. Again, sort of minimum effort. So it's like equal parts gin, vermouth, water actually, and then Aperitivo, just a quarter each. And it's just stirred down with a lemon twist. And it makes a sort of really like quaffable, like Negroni. So it's not quite as like harsh as like a normal one.
Oh yeah, I'm not big on a normal Negroni, but I'm going to give that a go.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's one of the, it's like a sort of gateway to like, for those for people who just are a little bit put off by the sharpness of a Negroni, but sort of love that sort of bittersweet taste profile. So it's just really good and really simple, and it impresses people.
Simple but elevated.
God, it's everything.
About myself. Is this something you've noticed about yourself in the past, or has this become quite confronting?
No, it's like, a therapy session, or like saying things out loud and realizing, you know, certain things about myself, which I'm going to.
If Bitivo wasn't invented yet, what would your go-to drink have been before?
Well, you know what? This is actually quite a sort of weird thing to say, but I only drank water before Bitivo, because I don't drink like juice or soft drink or anything. Yeah. I don't like sweet drinks. Mm. So if it wasn't alcohol, it would be water. I love water. I love really icy, cold water.
When the water's good, sometimes there's nothing better.
You've actually just reminded me that I had a dream about tasting delicious water last night. It's so weird, but it was like a branded water, and someone came up to my dream and was like, this is not like any water. This is M&S water. No, this is like special water. And I remember tasting it in my dream. It was like this like elixir of like water, which was the most delicious water I'd ever tasted. And it was like in my dream. I'm glad.
And you woke up like, I'll never know what this water is.
I'll never taste water as sweet as that water in my dream.
Oh, hilarious. I love that with Bitivo, it's not like trying to be a non-alcoholic alternative, though. Like you say, you can have it as is, or mix it up with alcohol or whatever you like, and have it both ways.
People always talk about sort of the non-alcoholic category and how it's like really, you know, it's more inclusive and everyone feels involved. But I sort of actually feel a bit differently. I feel like it still feels very much like, I'm not drinking, you're drinking.
Yeah.
The ones with the moderators, and there's all these sort of tribes within like the non-alcoholic space, and people align themselves. And I think what I really like about the idea behind Bitivo, because it can straddle the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic world, it can live in both, is that I just love the idea that it can be on the table at a dinner party, and people can be having a Bitivo and sparkling water, or Bitivo and tonic, or be having a Negroni or a whiskey with a bit of Bitivo in it. And it kind of becomes the ultimate sort of bringer together of people, which I think, you know, is quite on theme for a dinner party sort of podcast.
Yeah.
But I just love the idea of everyone being like, yeah, I'm having a Bitivo. Yeah, me too. And it's just in a slightly different way.
Yeah, what are you having your Bitivo with?
Yeah, exactly. How are you drinking yours today?
Have you like tried any, have you tried it with anything and gone, no, it doesn't work like that?
I don't like flat water, like just normal water.
Yeah.
That's definitely not one.
It's not a squash.
Not a squash. And actually the amount of people that actually sort of get that wrong when they first try it is kind of amazing. So
yeah,
sort of send them sort of videos and emails, but like, it has to be squash.
Yeah, please don't do that again.
Yeah, or people are just drinking it straight. It's really, really strong. So you dilute it like one part to seven parts mixer, basically.
Right.
It's like almost like a cordial. And so people don't realise it, and they'll sort of pour themselves a glass. It's like drinking like a glass of like Ribena, you know, like undiluted, but obviously way more classy. Like that kind of concentration. So it's not, you know, it's not ideal.
You touched on entertainment earlier with Bluey and some games. What would be your entertainment or games of choice?
That's a good question. So I'm a big... Have you seen Top Gun?
Yeah.
Like, movie? I'm asking you because actually I asked some people on our team who are sort of in their 20s last week, and they were like, what's Top Gun?
I have, but not for a long time.
Oh, God. It's so bad. Basically, it's an iconic film, and I assume everyone knows it really well because, you know, we all watched it so much when I was younger. And there's a scene where, you know, Maverick and Goose, or like Tom Cruise and his right-hand man, they're all sort of around a piano, and everyone's sort of singing Great Balls of Fire. And it's an iconic scene in the movie. And I think I always kind of, when I think about my ideal supper or dinner party, it would always end up at a scenario where in the corner someone magically is able to like take requests on a piano and everyone sort of stands around singing it and being so jolly. And actually, we actually have started to do that with Petivo. So we have a piano, a sampling giant yellow piano that we do. And we have now partnered with this pianist who can take requests. Because I was thinking about this and I was like, why don't we just do that like out on the street when we're, you know, taste our product so that people can shout out like funny sort of, you know, songs, and then they can, you know, try our product while they're having fun. So I guess a lot in my life has come from this one scene in Top Gun. Sort of being inspired by that. So that's definitely where I'd want the dinner party to end up. Just
all gathered around singing.
Yeah, embarrassing themselves, like singing badly.
I mean, you'd have Amy Winehouse there.
Yeah, not everyone would be singing badly.
You might have to be like, you wait your turn, then you can like do an incredible one and then it's back to us for a few.
Yeah, that is a good point, actually. Yeah, we don't want to be drowning out Amy Winehouse.
No. I think you feel a bit insecure singing this.
No, it's so true. It's so true.
If you were going to play games, do you have games that you whip out when you have people around?
Depends what time of the night, but if it's after dinner, I definitely love the kind of really controversial ones. Yeah, you know, like shag, marry, kill kind of vibes.
Yeah.
But, like, not if we know, because that's a bit...
Yeah. Not out of these guys in the room.
No, that definitely has happened before and it didn't go very well. But like famous people or... Yeah, like, yeah, just ones where people are like really like debating, yeah, what about this, what about that, sort of ongoing conversations, anything nostalgic like that, you know.
Yeah, fun. I'm gonna put you on the spot. Shag, marry, kill your three dinner party guests.
Oh, I'm gonna have to shag, definitely with shagging Winehouse. Yeah, I definitely have to marry Holly. And I'd have to kill, sorry, Bluey's dad.
Sorry.
You're just too good at being a dad and it makes me jealous.
I think you probably made the right decision.
Yeah, I definitely couldn't marry him because I'd be just really annoyed the whole time that my cartoon blue dog husband was way funnier than me.
Way better.
Way more invested in the parenting thing.
Mm, yeah, you've got to keep some distance there. I mean, it sounds great. Summer outside, round the piano. I would like to.
Well, you're invited. That's where this ends. You're invited to my dinner party.
Woo! When's it happening? We've got some time because it's still fake spring. So we'll plan it.
Exactly. I'm going to get loads more sort of fairy lights ordered in from Amazon.
In bulk.
Exactly.
Love that. Okay, let's do some quick fire questions. Sweet or savoury?
Definitely savoury. I don't really like sweet things that much.
Other than whipped cream.
Yeah, that's true, actually. But I kind of, is that like really sweet? I kind of feel
Yeah, it's not, you're right. It's not super sweet.
No, and that's like, Petivo is really, it's quite savoury and like bittersweet. Mm. And like, doesn't have that sweetness.
Something you always have in the cupboard.
Cornichon. I love pickled things. I'm half Danish, half German, and we were just brought up with like pickled things everywhere.
Favourite cookbook?
I've got the Bold Beans cookbook. I'm obsessed with it. I mentioned it in there. And I also like, quite cliche, but... Ottolenghi Simple.
No dinner party would be complete without...
someone not having a space at the table and having to sit on like a stool or something or another table as a, like it's a chair.
Favourite crisps?
Definitely Walker's cheese and onion.
Always cheese and onion over salt and vinegar, in my opinion.
Yeah, I have that argument with my partner quite a lot. But the other one that I do really like are the sour cream, like Pringles.
Love those too.
And I used to, when I was little, I'm one of like six kids, and I used to go and steal from the cupboard and just lick on both sides all like the flavouring up and put them back and then kind of seal it off and sort of creep away like a sort of, you know, like I'd never touched it. And my siblings would, you know, race down to like crack open the Pringles and realise that.
Soggy.
Yeah, sneaky in my head. I licked up all the good stuff and left them with some...
Sorry, but it looks like I was never there.
Yeah, they'll never know.
Love that. They are delicious though. There's something in those that just means you, like, once you open it, you just can't put it. Supermarket of choice.
Lidl. Don't even get me started on Lidl because my friends take the piss out of me so much. I'm obsessed with it. It's so good. We always shopped there when I was growing up. Parents were European, Danish, German. It had a lot of like the German and Danish food. Yeah. And I do the weekly shop there every Saturday morning for our kids. It's a whole week shop for like 100 quid. And the quality is amazing. Also, like my dad passed away like 3 years ago and we used to always go in the mornings together. And so I was go there with my kids and have a little sort of cry in the random aisle where they sell like the horse covers or whatever. Yeah. That one that has like the really eclectic. I just think it's great. And it's just got everyone from society like together, like doing the same thing, chatting to each other.
Yeah, it can sometimes be a bit chaotic, but it's all part of the experience.
Yeah, I love that though. I mean, I love chaos. I thrive in chaos. So it feels like home.
Yeah, I love it too. Although there are times when one has to go to a different supermarket to get things.
It's like a wardrobe where you have to have a couple of like hero boots, but then you can shop. Yeah,
totally. Takeaway of choice.
Chinese takeaway.
What's your Chinese order?
I lived in Shanghai for a bit, so I've got quite eclectic needs. My favourite thing is the wood ear mushroom. That is. So it's just like, I think it's like a sort of squeaky fungus. It's more delicious than
I'm Great explanation.
Because it doesn't look like a mushroom. It looks like almost like a fungus, like a sort of brown one that you see on the bottom of trees. But then they make it with, it's like soy sauce and I think some sort of vinegar. Yeah. And it's kind of cold. And it's like, and when you eat it, it kind of squeaks, which I quite like.
I know what you mean,
That's the kind of random one. And then I love a duck pancake, basically. Linking it back to chicken skin. It's like the sister of chicken skin.
The crispy bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, nobody gets the duck pancakes for like the not, you just want that bit where it's like all the crispy outside.
Like a plate of chicken skin, basically. Yeah.
If you could only eat one country's cuisine for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Greek.
Greek. I don't think we've had a Greek yet.
Greek, yeah. I just love like this Mediterranean, delicious, like everything better there. The tomatoes are just like 100 times better. Lots of fresh, saucy things.
Yeah, delish. I'm actually going to Rhodes at the beginning of May.
God, I'm so jealous.
Real sunshine.
Going to like a relaxing beach holiday isn't what it used to be. So I'm always quite jealous when people are like, I'm going on a beach holiday to Rhodes.
We were supposed to go last year, the week that they had all the fires.
Oh no.
Literally that week. Yeah, awful. So it's just like a postponed. I just love the sun. Happier person when the sun.
Yeah. Aren't we all?
Can't wait for summer. But there's nothing better than summer in the UK when everyone's having a great time in the park and the sun's out.
I spend a lot of time working in LA and the first few days I was like, oh, it's glorious. And then by day four, it's like, just like took it for granted. You know, just not, didn't like, it wasn't as elevating as I hear.
Yeah, because every time I go away, I'm like, why do I live in the UK? And then, but then summer in the UK is like so good.
Definitely. It's like, it's like 12 degrees today and I was walking through London fields and I saw someone wearing like a bikini. And I was like, I love it. I love that energy. I just love it. It's such good vibes.
We just don't take it for granted. We don't know when we're going to get it again. So you've got to get out in your bikini. How warm is it today? I'm going to look.
Honestly, like 12 degrees. I was wearing like a...
It says 11 degrees.
It's like insane, but I guess in the sun maybe it's warmer, I don't know. It was gorgeous. It was just love that whole big sun energy.
I'm with you. Well, thank you so much, that was so fun.
No, well, thanks for listening to me chat about nonsense.
Of course, loved it. Do you want to let people know where they can find you and Bativo online if they don't already follow you?
Oh yeah, so definitely give Bativo a go. It's delicious. It's www.bativodrinks.com. So that's our website, but you can also get us in all Whole Foods, a lot of like Clapton Craft, Earl of East, loads of the specialty delis, and we're in loads of the restaurants if you want to taste it, like Caravan and Granger and Co. and Hawksmoor's and lots of all the delicious restaurants in London and beyond, really.
What's your favourite restaurant?
It's not going to reflect well on my sort of kudos around restaurants, but I'm Pizza Express.
Yeah.
I love going to a lovely restaurant, but Pizza Express has just got like a really special place in my heart because I think it just takes me back to when I was sort of like a little teenager and I'd like meet boys there and like it was really exciting and you could sort of eat margaritas and drink tap water, and when I go back there now I just
eat margaritas and drink tap water.
It really like takes me back to that time where you're like creeping into independence and you're not quite an adult, you're not a kid, but it's like the most exciting time of your life. Six Express will like always be that place for me, so it's my favorite place.
Well, I think that's as good a point as any to end on.
Where do you go from there?
Where do you go from Pizza Express?
Number one recommendation in the whole world of restaurants.
I love that. Thank you so much. This is so great.
Great. Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Tables to Talk About. If you enjoyed it, I'd absolutely love if you would subscribe and leave us a review. It really helps people find us and allows me to get the absolute best guests that I can for you. If we've inspired you to get hosting and you fancy yourself some playful tableware, or you need help setting the scene for an upcoming event, you can follow us at Studio Dine on socials or check out our website studiodine.com for more. I'll see you next time.